With election season bearing down, the issue of polling moves into the headlines. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks polling and methodology with a Bay Area firm, a firm that was the only one to correctly predict a statewide race in Florida. That interview starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. With election season in high gear and with a politically divided electorate, polling is moving to the news coverage forefront, and we're no different here at this show. The presidential election of 2016 did very little to instill more faith in polling in general, polling methodology, and polling accuracy. Recently, in the Florida primaries, an underdog candidate for the Democratic nomination, Andrew Gillum, won, and only one polling company correctly predicted that win.
Our approach is very different, and we're doing everything online and making polling much more affordable. Our average poll price is around $5,000.
Okay.
And that means that we can really democratize polling and bring polling to a whole lot more candidates that have never been able to afford it before.
The scope of this disruption is easy to underestimate, but consider two factors about polling: cost and turnaround. Change Research, based in Palo Alto, can deliver a poll for around an eighth of the price and can turn it around in about a tenth of the time of traditional polling firms.
I'm Mike Greenfield. I am the CEO and co-founder of Change Research.
Thank you for coming in studio. We were talking just before we started recording, and let's just lead with the headline. Why I reached out to you was because of the election recently in the primaries in Florida. And a surprise, I think, candidate, you could say, won. And Change Research, your firm, is the only one to have called that correctly. Walk us up to what that was like going into Election Day.
Sure. So we were working for the Andrew Gillum campaign. Mm-hmm. They hired us in the springtime. We conducted three polls for the campaign, and the first one showed him in second or third place. He definitely had some room to grow. And then the last two, we showed him ahead, and I think that was something of a surprise to a lot of people, because all the public polling in that race had Gillum in second, third, even fourth place.
Wow.
Yeah. In most cases, 10 points or more behind.
How did his team find you?
We've been working with candidates really nationwide. My co-founder, Pat Riley, is a longtime political insider, knows a lot of people, and had worked with Scott Arsenault, who is working with the Gillum campaign in Florida.
I see.
And so that was our connection into
okay,
the campaign.
Cool. Networking. Political class elbow rubbing, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm the tech geek, and Pat's the political insider.
Well, right on. It sounds like a really yin yang kind of team. Perfect. I read your Medium post, right? And that's why one of the reasons we reached out to you too. It says you're trying to rethink polling. I hate using air quotes on the radio, but rethinking polling. Just tell me what that working definition means for you as the tech guy.
I'll give a little backstory, which
Please.
Is in 2016, I had just shut down a startup. I'm a data guy by background, was early data scientist at PayPal and LinkedIn, and mm-hmm. volunteered with two political campaigns, two city council campaigns in Palo Alto. And both of them raised $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And in the context of that campaign, they had no idea how they were doing. They talked to people and had some sense of what issues were important, but they had no idea if they were winning or losing.
Right.
In that race, they would have loved to have polling and understand better from a quantitative perspective what was going on. Mm-hmm. But it was just too expensive. And so it's, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to conduct a political poll in a traditional way.
Wow.
Our approach is very different, and we're doing everything online and making polling much more affordable. Our average poll price is around $5,000.
Okay.
And that means that we can really democratize polling and bring polling to a whole lot more candidates that have never been able to afford it before.
I think polling kind of pinged on everybody's radar a couple of years ago with the presidential election.
Yes.
And people staying up late and looking at that map and wondering what the hell happened and why didn't I see it coming. You have something that really stood out, was the bias correct engine. Can you describe that for me?
Sure. So what we're doing is we are reaching people online. We will run advertisements that say something like, we're conducting a poll of California residents. We'd love for you to take part. Someone will click through on that ad, and they will take a short, medium, long online survey.
Mm-hmm.
And what our bias correct engine is doing is it's looking at the demographics of who's taking the survey based on their survey responses. We don't know who someone is individually, but,
okay.
but based on their demographics, we're seeing, okay, maybe early on 70% of the people who are taking the survey are women. We know that's too high. And so what we'll do with our bias correct engine is adjust our advertising so that we can reach a representative sample of the population.
So
the
more,
right number.
So you're dynamically generating new samples that are equalized.
That's right. So we're getting the right number of men and women, the right number of, okay. of blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, older and younger, Republicans and Democrats, kind of, you know, a balanced sample across the board.
That's really cool. I imagine that being digitally based and having that dynamic response, that you can return results quicker too, right?
That's right. Yeah. So that's really a big piece of what we're trying to do is we want to be fast, accurate, and affordable. And because
you want to be Amazon of polling.
I guess so. Yeah. because we're doing things online, we're automating the process. We don't have to book time with a call center. We can return results very quickly, especially in statewide races, national
yeah, polls. Quick rapid response team kind of stuff. That's very important,
that's right.
Vital data. Let's go back a little bit. Do you do or specialize in candidate-based polling, or is issue-based polling something that pops with Change Research too?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of both. These days, it's in the run-up to Election Day, we're doing more candidate-based polling. But that's even there, there's certainly diversity and both from in terms of who we're working with. You know, half of our candidates are women, and close to half are candidates of color. But also in terms of the kinds of groups that we're representing. So sometimes that's the candidate him or herself. Sometimes it's a state house caucus or a state Democratic Party.
Right.
Sometimes it's an independent expenditure. Sometimes it's an advocacy organization. You know, there are a lot of different groups that are involved in elections, and we're working with many different types.
Other than the bias correct engine that we've already talked about, you don't have to give me your secret sauce, but what else differentiates Change Research and the approach from traditional polling? I'm not familiar with traditional polling, so just take me from 0 feet to 30,000.
From the perspective of a Silicon Valley data guy, which I am, I sort of look at the traditional polling world as very much a consulting type engagement. And there are certainly benefits to that, and that the pollster is sort of the right hand man or the right hand woman of on the campaign,
mm-hmm.
And that means that they're on phone calls with the campaign once a week, and but they're charging a lot of money. They're charging $40,000 or thereabouts for one small poll.
Yeah,
that's not our model. You know, we're going to have a phone call with the campaign. We're gonna speak with them and make sure we understand what issues they're having and what do they want to learn. And we're gonna have a follow-up call when we conduct a poll, but we're not their sort of right-hand person. It's okay. It is much more of a software-driven model, and so we are in addition to the online piece, we're automating most of the analysis, most of the weighting of the data. We've automated the process of creating PowerPoint decks with results from the poll that we're seeing, and
cool.
So you know, a lot of that is sort of how can we create something that is really valuable for the campaign in a scalable way?
Sure.
You know, sort of Silicon Valley type way.
Yeah, yeah, the network effects. How did you and your co-founder come together on this, and when?
Yeah, so we came together in April or May of 2017.
Okay.
I had identified this as a problem. I had done sort of a prototype in a special election in Kansas. And this was Mike Pompeo's seat. There's a district that Trump had won by 27 points, and I did a poll there, and I saw that that the Democrat was winning over a lot of Trump supporters, and he was going to be pretty close. I bet a friend of mine who was from that district that that James Thompson, the Democrat, would come in within 12 points,
uh-huh.
won a burrito when he lost by 6 or 7. And then the day after the election, read in the New York Times that the Thompson campaign had not had enough money to conduct their own polling. which was just flabbergasted me.
Right.
Just after that, I met Pat, my co-founder. She came from the political and communications world, and she was really excited about the idea of democratizing polling and making this more accessible to so many campaigns that never could have afforded it before, and sort of breaking down the barriers to conduct a good campaign. And we started working together she was running a communications firm with one of her clients, and then she decided, she was so excited about it, she wanted to co-found the company with me.
Pat's CV is a normal trajectory, using another set of air quotes, but it seems like a typical trajectory for somebody of a political bent. Are you inherently political yourself?
I've always been interested in politics. I minored in political science at Stanford. This is really 2016, working for two city council campaigns was the most directly politically involved that I had gotten.
Okay.
And then after Trump was elected, I felt like I needed to apply my time and my skills to politics and democracy and figure out a way that I could make a difference.
I've had two authors on the show recently, just this year, who wrote books predicting the rise of Trump nationalism / populism, whatever you want to put on it. Can you look forward a little bit, given where you sit right now as a pollster, as someone who runs a polling company? Can you extrapolate and look forward a little bit? I mean, I keep hearing this blue wave or something like that, and then of course people push back on that, and that's fine. It's politics. I mean, people are always going to push back. I'm wondering what your perspective is right now as we move forward. Are you seeing any kind of trend?
Yeah, I think that things on the whole look good for Democrats, look tougher for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough for me to extrapolate too far out.
Sure.
One of the things that is really striking to me in looking at the data is just how entrenched the opinions are of so many Americans. And there are, you know, we very commonly will ask people to rate Trump from 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. And a very large percentage of the population gives him either a 1 or a 10. More people give him a 1 than give him a 10, but there are a lot of people in both of those camps.
Wow.
And the people who give him a 1 and the people who give him a 10 are the ones who are the most likely to vote. So the handful of people who say Trump's a 5, most of them are not actually voting.
Right.
So we have a very polarized electorate.
Wow. And midterms, of course, usually do go against the incumbent party. I should just mention that real quick. That's just a typical trend. It does not necessarily always hold. It didn't during Reagan. Okay. You're returning results to just vivid results within 1 to 5 days. The typical was 7 to 14 days, I understand, for the other pollster. How valuable is that? Is just that data point for your company?
I think it can be tremendously valuable to campaigns, and it's valuable in different ways with different kinds of campaigns. So a lot of the campaigns that we're working with are state legislative campaigns in states that are much smaller than California, and these are candidates that are raising, $50,000 or $100,000. They don't have a ton of money to use.
Right.
And without us, they would never be able to conduct a poll at all. And so we're giving them a pulse on where things are.
Very cool.
And that's really, I mean, for them, it's, the speed is nice, but that's sort of secondary. The main thing is they're getting data, they're getting insights.
Yeah.
With the Gillum campaign, they reached out to us Sunday morning before the election, and we conducted a poll for them in a day or so. And we're able to give them results right away.
Yeah, that kind of pinged for me. I was like, well, I wonder if Mike's ever going to sleep the last 2 weeks of October. I mean, you're probably going to get inundated, don't you think?
Yeah.
What's your team like? How are you going to respond to that?
We are. They're about 15 of us.
Okay.
Yeah. We've built up the team a fair amount over the last year. We're busy. There are a lot of people who want good polling and don't want to spend $40,000 for it, and
right.
So there's been quite a bit of demand.
I imagine polling is feast and famine. It's cyclical. How do you guys get through the lean times?
We later 2018 and into 2019, we will be diversifying our client base and working with more advocacy organizations, more foundations, more different types of entities. Obviously, the hundreds of state legislative campaigns that we're working with today are not going to be up and running in 2019,
right.
Except in a couple states that have elections and off years. But there are a lot of other kinds of organizations that want to understand public sentiment in deep ways. And so, you know, we've been working some with them and we'll be working more with them next year.
This may not be your swing zone, but you're kind of touching on the business development end of it. How do you guys go about that? Do you rely on earned media like an interview or a show like this one? Or do you go out and advertise? I just don't know how that trade works.
It's actually a mix. You know, earned media has been great for us. You know, a lot of truly organic word of mouth. And, you know, we work with a campaign manager and the campaign manager likes us, sure, mentions us to a friend. We are also working, we have what we call change agents, which are people who sort of represent change research in specific states and kind of tell the story of,
cool,
what we're doing and, you know, help us get connected with political leaders.
That's pretty sophisticated to have embed marketing going across.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
That's all Pat. She's good at what she does.
Well, congratulations on calling the Gillum race and being the only one to do so correctly. Well done on that. And I do hope you get some sleep. And maybe after the election in the generals, we can check in with you early next year to find out how the foundation work and the issue work is going.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much for having me. Absolutely. Thank you.
That was Mike Greenfield, CEO and co-founder of Change Research. In prior gigs, he was with PayPal and LinkedIn. Polling is hard. The data sets can be poor predictors, depending on the width and depth of the data pool. That's one reason traditional methods that use telephone polling can be tough to iron out. Here's a paragraph from the New York Times, and the story is headlined, Why Polling Can Be So Hard. Quote, on paper, most of the voter files look about the same. More than half of voters have a telephone number. Around half of those voters have a cell phone number. In general, older, white, long-time voters are likeliest to have telephone numbers. And that's just one paragraph from a long article about how difficult it is to poll in what are thought to be the nation's tightest congressional races going into the midterms.